Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin, not Bambasva, Sanhedrin, daf Dalid. We left off at the two dots on daf Gimel Amud Beis in Masech Sanhedrin. Two dots, daf Gimel Amud Beis. The last line that we said on daf Gimel Amud Beis was comparing Dinei Nefashos to Dinei Mamonos. Right before the two dots, we said, if Dinei Nefashos to Chamiri, Amar Rachman Azil Basarubo, if we follow a rove in Dinei Nefashos, then Kalashkein Dinei Mamonos, which is less Chamor, then of course we're going to follow a rove in Dinei Mamonos. There is a famous Kasha, the Urim V'tumim in the Kuntros Takfu Kohen, quotes from the Ma'ari Ibn Leiv, that whenever you have a Machlokas Haposkim, the Muchsa can always say, Kimli Kamiut. The Muchsa can always say, I hold like the miut, I hold like the minority opinion. Why? What gives the muchzik the right to say kimli ka miut? Because we say in holchin b'mamon, achar rov, that when it comes to dinei mamonos, there's no requirement to necessarily follow the rov. So frekti urim v'tumim, why are dayanim any different? Rabbi Yonasan Epshus and urim v'tumim, why is it that by dayanim, we follow the rov hadayanim to paskin adin Torah in dinei mamonos? Whatever happened to Ein Holchin B'Mamon Achar Rov? Shouldn't Ein Holchin B'Mamon Achar Rov tell me that when there's a machlokas on the Beis Din, you have three dayanim, two say Chayiv, one says Zakai, who's to say that we should follow Chayiv, that we should say Chayiv? What happened to Ein Holchin B'Mamon Achar Rov? So there's a well-known Reb Chaim in the stencil, Reb Chaim in the Kisvei Agrach, and Baba Kama Dav Chav Zayin, is mitarets based on the idea that there are two types of Rov that we can speak of. Rove can be divided into several categories, but one way to categorize rove is sometimes you have rove that's mevarer or machria safek, and sometimes you have rove that where we say rubo kikulo. For instance, when you shecht an animal, right? So we say you're supposed to cut shnei simanim. So let's say you cut rove shnayim. So there we say, yeah, cutting rove shnayim, that's like cutting the shnei simanim, that the rubo kikulo. Does that mean that we're not really sure if it's cut and therefore we follow the rove and the rove of the simon is... No, that's not... We're sure exactly what happened. We know everything. It's just that the definition of the simon is the rove simon. Rubo kikulo. That's the din of rubo kikulo. So we find both types of ideas of holchen... What's holchen achar rov? I find a piece of meat. I'm not sure if it came from a kosher store or a treif store. Happens to be on this block. 9 stores sell kosher meat. 1 store sells treif meat. So then we follow the rov. Right? Do I know for sure that this meat came from the kosher store? No. But we follow the rov. That's the typical example of rov. So he says when it comes to Sanhedrin, when it comes to a Beis Din, you have both dinim of rov in play. When it comes to deciding what to do, so we're holchem achar harov. We follow the majority opinion. But once the Gemar Din is issued, at the Gemar Din, when the Sanhedrin or the Beis Din issues their Gemar Din, then we assume that you have a din of rubo kikulo, that whatever most of the dayanim say, that now takes on the status as the entire Beis Din issuing that psak. We don't say when there's a Beis Din of 3 and 2 hold chayiv, 1 hold zakai, that the 2 that hold chayiv are the ones that are issuing the psak. No, the psak comes from a Beis Din of 3. The psak comes from a Sanhedrin of Chav Gimel. It has to be, because you can't paskin with a Beis Din of 2. So that's the din of the Sanhedrin. So based on that, right? Based on that idea, the Achronim answer a whole bunch of kashas. Right? The kasha of the Mordechai. The Mordechai famously asks, why don't we say by Dayanim? We know that there's a rule by Rov that Kol Kavuas Kemech Sal Mechzadami. Yes, we typically follow Rov, but whenever something is Kavua, whenever something is in place, it hasn't moved from its original location, then we say it's Kemech Sal Mechzadami. We view it as if it's a 50-50. Well, Dayanim have to be sitting, right? So the Dayanim are all sitting there. Isn't that called in the Beis Din? So isn't that called kavua? Why don't we say called kavua kamech sal mechzadami? How could you follow the majority opinion of dayanim? No, but the point is called kavua kamech sal mechzadami is a din in azlinon basaruba, but a din in bittel barov, a din in rubo kikulo. Then we're not going to say kol kavua kamech sal mechzadami when you have a din of rubo kikulo. That has nothing to do with kol kavua by the dayanim issuing a psak. That's a din of rubo kikulo. That's not a din in azlinon basaruba. Another kasha that the Achronim ask, Rav Elchanan asks, why don't we say by a Beis Din that Ein Holchin B'Bikuach Nefesh Achar Rov? Beis Din paskins 20 dayanim on the Sanhedrin, paskin the guy is chayiv, 3 paskin he's not chayiv, right? And what do? We kill the guy. How could you follow the rov and kill the person? So again, what do we assume? What do we see? That the din of ein holchem bikoach nefesh acharov, that's a din in azlinon basaruba, when we have a suffix and we're not sure what to do, we're not going to follow a rov to figure out what to do. But when you have a din in rubo kikulo, that it's not a din of suffix, it's that this is the psak of the Sanhedrin. How do I know what the psak of the Sanhedrin is? When the rov of the Sanhedrin says something, that's the psak of the entire Sanhedrin. That's like the Shechita Simanim, where that's called the entire thing. That's like Shtias Rov HaKos, where it's Rubo Kukulo, where I drink Rov HaKos, that's considered as if I drank the whole thing. I don't have a suffix about what happened. When it's not a Birur, it's a Rubo Kukulo, then you're not going to say in Hochen Pukuach Nefesh, Achar Rov. Good, that's the... That's the fundamental chiluk that Reb Chaim makes that has to be mentioned sometime at the beginning of Masech Sanhedrin. Okay, we are two lines into the wide lines and Daf Gimel and Beis at the two dots. Tan Rabbanan. Dina Mamnus B'Shlosha, Rabbi Yomar B'Chamisha, Kadesh Yigmar Adin B'Shlosha. Right, the Bryce says Dina Mamnus required three Dayanim, but Rabbi says you need five Dayanim in order that the Gemar Din should be issued with three Dayanim. So, frankly, Gemara, Atu B'Tlasa, Milo Gamar Dina Betray? What's the problem? If you have three judges, what's the problem with having two vote against the one and having a Gamar Din that way? Now, Hachi Kamar, Mipneisha Gamar Din Bishlosha. That, not because Yigmar Din Bishlosha, but because the Gamar Din has to be Bishlosha. Alma Kasavar Tlasa Ki Ksivi Begamar Din Ksivi. Meaning, he says, yes, when it's not that there's a problem, if the Torah required a basin of three, that there would be a problem of a 2-to-1 vote. No, in a chinami, that would be fine. It's that what he's saying is when the Torah says the idea of Shlosha, when the Torah alludes to the idea of Shlosha, it says it only in the context of Gemardin, which leads you to believe that the Gemardin has to be agreed upon by three Dayanim, which can only happen if you have room for another two Dayanim that are dissenting. And that's where he gets the idea of five Dayanim. Megadif by Rabbi Avos. Rabbi Avo wasn't just didn't just reject this, but he apparently was very upset by this comment. Megadif by Rabbi Avo. Elameyate says Tei Sanhedrin Gedolah Tzricha Me'av Arba'im Ve'Echad Kedei Shi'igmar Adin B'Shivim Ve'Echad. Then you should say the Sanhedrin Gedolah needs 141 judges, because you should say that you need a Gemar Din of 71 judges. V'Tei Sanhedrin Ketana Tzricha Arba'im Ve'Chamisha Kedei Shi'igmar Adin B'Shlosh Ve'Esrim. And the Sanhedrin Ketana should require 45 judges, because after all, you need 23 judges to do the Gemar Din by Sanhedrin Ketana. So you need to have 23 versus 22, don't you? Ella asfuli shivim ish amrachmanam ishas asifa shivim. So now, by the Sanhedrin Gedolah says asfuli shivim ish, and we learn from the time of asifa, from the time that they're first being put together, at that point, it's already only 70 judges. V'shaftu eida v'yitzilu eida nami mishas shvita se'eda. Right, from the fact that it says v'shaftu eida v'yitzilu eida, and that's where we learn that you need 23 judges, because we said eida means 10. So if you have shaftu eida 10 against v'yitzilu eida 10-4, and then we added a couple more because you need to be nota lahachmir al yidei a rove of two plus ein based in not, right? You can't have an even number of dayanim, so we added one more. But basically, we learn the idea of 23 dayanim from that pasuk. So what do we see? The pasuk is speaking in a lashon of being shofet, of being matzil. So when is it that you need the 23 judges? Mishas shvita sa'eda, at the very beginning of the judgment, not only at the gemar din. So hachanami say over here as well. V'nikra by dinim mamnus b'shlosh, we say the same thing. V'nikra balabayis elohim mishas kriva shlosha. Already from the time that they come right in front of the judges, you already need three dayanim. So it can't be that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need five judges because the Gemar Din has to be done with three, and the very source of Gemar, of having three judges, is only at the Gemar Din. No, it says in Pasuk V'nikrav. So it's already at the Shas Kriva that you need whatever number of judges the Torah requires. It's not that the Torah only requires three judges, but requires them at the Gemar Din. And also, as we just said, the Gemar Din is happening. Bishlosha, even when it's a tune of one vote. According to the vart we just said from Reb Chaim, the Gemara din is the yisod we said from Reb Chaim. The Gemara din is happening al pi a beis din of three judges. Yes, it's a tune of one vote, but the pesach doesn't come out from two judges. The pesach comes out from the beis din as a whole. So that can't be the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has to see in the psukim, he has to see somewhere that it says five dayanim. It can't be that he only sees in the psukim three dayanim, and then he cheshbens backwards, that if three dayanim are giving the Gemara din, there must have been another two dayanim with a dissenting opinion. It doesn't work that way. There's no dissenting opinion. Dissenting opinion is in the Masa Umatan. At the Gemara din, there's no dissenting opinion. At the Gemara din, it's one based in issuing the psak, and that's it. So Rabbi Yehuda must have seen, if he says that there are five dayanim necessary for dinim amunus, he must have seen it in the psukim somewhere. It's just interesting that even as a havamin, the Gemara says, Elameata, for Rabbi Yehuda is correct, that you need the three dayanim at the Gemara din, then by Sanhedrin Ketana, you should also need 23 dayanim at the Gemara din, and 22 for a dissenting opinion. It's very difficult to understand what the Havamina is, because what's the whole source of needing 23 dayanim? Where do we get the number 23 from? V'shaftu eida v'yitzilu eida. Right? It says that you need eida shofetes and eida matzeles. You need 10 people voting for and 10 people voting against. In the very source of 23 dayanim, we already accounted for the dissenting opinion. So to even have a havamina that the 23 dayanim need to be those who are voting chayiv, it's against the drasha. The whole drasha was, no, you have 10 voting chayiv, 10 voting zakai. So that's the point the Chiddush Rabbeinu Yonah raises, that it's very difficult to understand what the havamina would be to even raise it as a kasha. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to say that agav sirche nakat, that once we're mentioning the kasha by Sanhedrin Gedola, and by Beis and Shal Shlosha, we just mentioned Sanhedrin Ketana as well. But there's never really such a kasha by Sanhedrin Ketana, because as we said, inherent in the drasha itself, already the dissenting opinion is already accounted for. The Tosos Maseches Sota, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Alef, quotes from Yerushalmi, that according to Rabbi Akiva, there were 24 meraglim. So then it could be that the Lashon Eda doesn't necessarily, right, where do we get that the word Eda means 10? We learn it from the meraglim. So then it could be that you have a little more leeway with how you darshan v'shaftu Eda v'yitzilu Eda. But still, that's not Pasha Pshar. We learned in our Mishnah not that way, that our Mishnah says that Eda is 10, that Eda Shofetas, Eda Metzelas is a reference to 10. So anyway, back to our Gemara. So how do we know? How does Rabbi Yehuda know, rather? Where does Rabbi Yehuda get the idea that you need five dayanim for dinim amunus? Ella, says the Gemara, hainu taima de Rebbe. I'm sorry, where does Rebbe get the idea that you need five dayanim for dinim amunus? Rabbi Yehuda nasi. Ella hainu taima de Rebbe. This is where Rabbi gets it from. Asher yashiun Elohim trei. Yashiun is plural. So it says Asher Yashiun Elohim, right there you see a requirement for two judges. Nemer Elohim Lamatav and Nemer Elohim Lamala. And it says Elohim in both Kanta, in two different places. So by Yashiun Elohim and by Ad Elohim Yavod Var Shnehem. And Rashi points out, V'nikra V'alabayas El Elohim isn't counted because we're Ein Darshan Tchilos. We're assuming that we're not going to darshan the first time the word comes up. So we're not going to count that one. We're only counting Asher Yashiun Elohim and Ad Elohim Yavod Var Shnehem. So Mal Mata Shnayim, just like by Asher Yashiun Elohim. We know Yarshiun is plural, and therefore Elohim means two judges. Aflam Alashnayim. So too, Ad Elohim Yavo Dvarshnayim is also a reference to two other judges. So there we see in the Pesukim itself a requirement for four judges. They ain't based in Shakel, Mosif Nalayim Nodechad, Harekan Chamisha. But we know you can't have four judges, because they ain't based in Shakel. You can never have an even number of Dayanim on a Bezdin. So what do? Mosif Nalayim Nodechad. It must be that there's an extra judge somewhere. And that's where Rabbi darshins that you need the fifth judge, that there are that you need five Dayanim for Dinim Amnus. V'Rabbanan, okay, that sounds like a good drasha, right? Rabbanan darshin from Elohim Elohim. It says Elohim two times and Nain Bez and Shakal, or it says it three times, and therefore we see that there are three Dayanim necessary for a Bez Din. What do they do about the fact that it says Asher Yashiun Elohim, which makes it sound like the word Elohim is not a reference to a single judge, it's a reference to two judges? V'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan will respond, Yashian Ksiv. if you look at the way it's written in the Chumash, in the Torah, it doesn't say Yarshi'un with a Vav between the Ayin and the Nun, which you're right, would have implied that there are two judges being referred to by the word Elohim. The way it's spelled is without that Vav. And since it's spelled without that Vav, the impression you get is that it's only referring to a single Dayan. So what are they arguing about? Apparently they're arguing about whether you follow, when it comes to making a drasha that's going to determine the halacha, do you follow the way the word is spelled, or do you follow the way the word is pronounced? It's pronounced Yarshiyun, which would mean two. It's spelled Yarshiyan, which is which is singular. So that's what the machloka seems to be between the Rabbanan and Rabbi. So Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. So he makes a comment that's a shas comment. He says, oh, what do you see from Rebbe? You see that Rebbe's willing to follow the way things are pronounced and not the way things are spelled. Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda ben Roatz, Ube Shammai, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Akiva, we have a group of five Tanoim, Kulu Sviruluhu, they all hold the concept of Yesh Eim L'Mikra. They all hold the concept that we follow the way words are pronounced, are read, and not necessarily the way words are spelled. That's what we're going to find from all of these different Tanaim, from all these five different Tanaim, that they all hold Yesh Eim L'Mikra. So where do we see that they all hold Yesh Eim L'Mikra? Actually, before we get into where we see that they all hold Yesh Eim L'Mikra, just a general comment about Yesh Eim L'Mikra versus Yesh Eim L'Mesoros. Most of these discussions are going to involve Chaseros V'Yaseros. Right? They're going to involve adding a Hey here, a Vav there. Right? They're going to involve the minor letters that of Chaseros V'Yaseros in Psukim. This is somewhat difficult, considering that the Gemara in Kiddushin Dav Lamed tells us that inu b'ki b'chaseros v'yaseros anan lo b'kiin, that in the earlier generations at some point they were b'kiin in chaseros v'yaseros. Nowadays we're not b'kiin b'chaseros v'yaseros. We don't know where every hey and yud and vav goes in the Torah. Our words are basically right in the Torah, but the chaseros v'yaseros were not such b'kiin in. That's the criticism a lot of people have of what a lot of kiruv organizations use, the Bible codes, where they count every 50 letters in the Torah here, spells out whatever, right? My favorite one is within the parsha of Mishkav Zachar. They have, if you count every 49 letters starting with the letter Aleph, it spells out Aleph Yud Dalet Samach. AIDS. So you see that in the parsha of Mishkav Zachar, it's already alluded to AIDS. So people point out that it's a very difficult thing to start believing these Bible codes if we assume that the Torah as we have it, with the Yuds and the Vavs, we don't know how to spell everything exactly correctly. We have all the words right. That's one of the Ikari Amuna, right? But we don't know how to spell, that we have the spellings all exactly correct in terms of the Chaseros V'Yaseros. So the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Taryag discusses this issue. How can you have a discussion, Yeshem L'Mikra, Yeshem L'Mesoros? Who knows what the Mesoros is? Who knows what the proper spelling really is? We're not Bekiyan in what the Mesoros is. So the Minchas Chinuch, the Mitzvah Taryag, on the Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, because he's bothered by how can you ever be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? If a single being off by a single letter passes the Sefer Torah, like the Ramban writes in his Hakdamah to his Pirush on Chumash, that Kol HaTorah Kulos Shmos Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole Torah is God's name, and if you're off by a single letter, it ruins the name of God. So how can we ever be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? We're always off by a letter here, a letter there. We're not Bekiyim b'chaseros v'yaseros. So Minchas Chinuch writes that b'zman ha-tanayim they were Bekiyim. It was lost in the times of the Amoraim. However, he says, in certain key areas, the Mesorah was never lost of how to spell things. Because there were certain things that even as we were unable to continue to write new Sefer Torah, there were certain things that we were always able to continue to do, like writing tefillin and mezuzos. And therefore, the parshios of tefillin and the parshios of mezuzah are not going to be subject to that same issue of einon b'kiyin b'chaseros v'yaseros, because those are mitzvos tmidios. Those are things that are constantly being done. That's what he suggests at first, that there are certain areas in Torah where we are b'kiyin, other areas where we're not. Then he writes that you could be mechalik between two types of chaseros v'yaseros. There's some chaseros v'yaseros where it changes pshat in the pasuk, like over here, meaning in our case, Yarshi'un would mean multiple. Without the Vav, it doesn't mean multiple, it means singular. So he says, those chaseros v'yaseros that change the translation, that change the explanation of the pasuk, those you have to say we were bekiyin in. Because otherwise, our whole perush of the Torah has been lost, and we can't say such a thing. We have to believe that our mesorah is strong, that our understanding, our ability to decipher the Torah, has not been lost. Where do we say enon bekiyin v'chaseros v'yaseros, that we're not such experts in the chaseros v'yaseros? That's where you have chaseros v'yaseros that don't change the meaning of the pasuk. Like what? The name Aharon. With a vav between the resh and the nun, or no vav between the resh and the nun? Okay, so with a vav, without a vav, it's pronounced the same, and it means the same thing. So that's what we're going to say. We're not bekiyin b'chaseros v'yaseros. But when it comes to actually changing the meaning of the pasuk, you have to say we're bekiyin b'chaseros v'yaseros. So anyway, back to the Gemara. So this whole discussion of Yeshem Mikra, Yeshem Mesoros, obviously assumes that we are bekiyin in how things are supposed to be spelled and how they're supposed to be pronounced. So where do we find these five Tanaim all hold that we focus on the pronunciation and not the spelling? Rebbe Hadi Arman. Rebbe, we just said, he makes this whole drasha from the fact that it's Asher Yarshi'un Elohim, that the word Elohim always means two. And that's how he arrived at his conclusion that you need five Dayanim for Dinim Amunis. For Rebbe Yudah ben Roatz, where does Rebbe Yudah ben Roatz say that we follow the spelling? That we follow, rather, the pronunciation? The Tanya Shalu Talmidim Asher Yudah ben Roatz. The Talmidim asked Rebbe Yudah ben Roatz, Ekra ani shivim, meaning pasuk says that yoledes nekeva is tamei shvuayim, is tamei for 2 weeks. So why not say that it doesn't say shvuayim, it says shivim. Yachol te yoledes nekeva tamei shivim. Right? I might think that someone who's yoledes nekeva, a woman who gives birth to a nekeva, should be tamei for 70 days. Amar lahan, so he responded, no, it can't mean shivim. We know that when a woman gives birth to a baby boy, there are days of tumah. Isha ki sazria, right? Parsha tazria. When a woman gives birth to a baby boy, there are days of tumah and there are days of tahara. And when a woman gives birth to a baby girl, there are also days of tumah and days of tahara. And we're going to assume that they're proportional to each other. Makshetir bezachar benekeva kiflayim, af kishetime bezachar benekeva kiflayim. So just like what the days of tahara of a baby boy are exactly half of the days of tahara of a baby girl, so too the days of tumah of a baby boy are exactly half of the days of tumah of a baby girl. Meaning, with the days of tahara, the pasuk says mefurash that a boy, the days of tahara after the days of tumah extend for another 33 days. By a girl, it's another 66 days. So too the original days of tumah immediately after the leida, we know by a boy it's 1 week. So by a girl, it can't be shivim; it must be shvuayim. It must be double the amount that it is for a boy. Lachash yatzu, after they left, yatzu machziar chareim. Rabbi Ben Rotz came running after them, and Amar Lahan, he said, "You know what? Forget the drash I just told you. Forget the lumdus I just told you. Yatam zukukim lakach shvuayim karinan v'yeshem lemikra." He says, "You don't need any fancy comparisons, baby boy to baby girl. No, the kri is shvuayim and yeshem lemikra. It doesn't matter how it's spelled, that it's spelled shivim. What matters is how it's pronounced." So that's where you see Rabbi Ben Roatz holds Yeshem L'mikra. Beishamai, where do you see Beishamai holds Yeshem L'mikra? Tetran, Beishamai Yomrim Kola Nitanen Al Mizbeach Achiton Shnasim Matana Achas Kiper. Anytime you have a mitzvah Nesinas Dam on the Mizbeach Achiton, on the large Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, where you do a single Matana, you do a single Nesinas Dam, it's going to affect Kapara. Ubechatas Shtei Matanos, and for a Korban Chatas, you need 2 matanos to affect kapara. Ubeisil says, no, af bechatas shnisum matana achas kiper. Even if with the carbon chatas, matana achas is enough to affect kapara. Vam Rav Huna, my time is Beishamai. And Rav Huna says, well, where does Beishamai get the idea that by carbon chatas at least you need 2 matanos of dam in order to affect kapara? Where does he see it? Karnos, karnos, karnos. Because the psukim keep on referring to karnos hamizbeach. Right? The pasuk says, v'lokach hakoyim idam achatos betzbo v'nasen al karnos hamizbeach. Pasuk continues, right? That's Vayikra Perek Dal Pasuk Chafhei, and nine Pasukim later, Pasuk Lamedal, Vlokach Koin Midam Achatas Bezbo, Vnasanal, Karnos Samizbeach. And Pasuk Lamed, Vlokach Koin Midam Bezbo, Vnasanal, Karnos Samizbeach. Now, in all three of those places, it's spelled without the Vav. But in all three places, it's pronounced Karnos. So Karnos implies two Kranos. Hare kan shesh, so two times three, three times it says karnos, each time it refers to two kranos, that's six kranos. Arba le mitzvah, that tells you that four nesinos of dam are ideal, and aside from the four that are ideal, if you don't have, you don't do all four, ushtayim la'akev. At least you need two in order to be ma'akev the kapara, in order to get the kapara. If you don't do two, it's going to be ma'akev the kapara. You're not going to have the kapara without at least two. That's how he darshins the six references to Nesinas Dam on the Karnos HaMizbeach. Ubeisilolom, Beisilol says no. Karnos, Karnas, Karnas. Hare Kanarba. It says, I'm sorry, not all three times. I think in Archimish all three times it says it without a Vav. But anyway, Basil's darshaning, that in the way he had it is, Karnos is with a Vav once and without a Vav twice. Hare Kanarba, that leads you to four. Why? Because the one with a Vav is two, and each of the ones without a Vav are one each. So that's a total of four. So Hare Kanarba, Gimel Mitzvah, so that means ideally you would want to do three Nesinos of Dam, Va'achas La'akev. But b'di'eved, you only need to do one in order to be ma'akev the kapara. So ve'ema kulu l'mitzvah. So frek the Gemara on Beis Hillel. Wait a second. If all you have is a limud for four nesinos of dam, why don't you say that all four are just l'mitzvah and nothing is ma'akev? Just say the mitzvah is to do four nesinos of dam on the four sides, and nothing is ma'akev. If you don't do anything, it's also fine. Answers Gemara: No, kapara b'kedi lo ashkan. That can't be. It can't be that you get kapara for free, that you're not going to do anything and just you get granted kapara without any nesinos of dam. So it has to be at least one that's la'akev. If there's one that's la'akev, Beis Hillel is only left with three more that are l'mitzvah, right? That you would only do three for l'mitzvah. But what's the bottom line? What do we see from here? That Beis Shammai darshins how we pronounce the words, not how they're spelled. Beis Hillel is darshaning how they're spelled, but Beis Shammai darshins how we pronounce the words, and we pronounce it karnos each time, and therefore Beis Shammai darshins as a reference to two nesinos of dam for each time the word karnos comes up. So that's what we see from that drasha. So far we've already explained how Rebbe holds, how Rebbe Ben Roatz and how Beis Shammai all hold that we follow the mikra, that we follow the way we pronounce things, not the way things are spelled. We still have two more to go, two more tanaim. Rebbe Shimon, where do we see Rebbe Shimon also holds this way? D'tanya kuzev b'raisa shtayim kilchas on shlishus afilu tefach in hilchas sukkah. Right? How do you build a kasher sukkah? Two walls, kilchasan, that are perpendicular to each other, u'shlishis afilu tefach, and then the third wall is even, a tefach of a third wall is good. Rabbi Shimon Omer, shalosh kilchasan revius afilu tefach. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you need three walls connected, three full walls, and then the fourth wall could be only a tefach. B'maika mefugi, what are they arguing about? Rabbanan Savri Yeshem Lemesores. The Rabbanan say you follow the way the words are spelled. Rabbi Shimon Savri Yeshem Lemikra. Rabbi Shimon says, no, not the way the words are spelled, the way they're pronounced. Rabbanan Savri Yeshem Lemesores. Rabbanan say you follow the way the words are spelled. Basukas, basukas, basukos. Two out of the three times it says basukos, it's spelled without a vav. It's spelled as if it were sukas. Hare kanarba. So that's a sukas is singular, sukas is singular, sukos is plural. So that's a total of four, dal chad kro legufei. Take away one of the psukim because you need one legufei, right? That's similar to ein dorshin tchilos. So one pasuk you need just for pasha pshat. So pasha lutlas, that leaves you with three. So you need three walls. Asai hilchsa garas l'shlishis v'kimta tefach. And then comes along the halacha l'moshe misinei and says, yes, three walls, but that third wall doesn't have to be a full wall. That third wall could be even just a tefach. That's halacha l'moshe misinei. The halacha l'moshe misinei affects the last wall. But for Rabbi Shimon Tzavar, Rabbi Shimon says, I don't care how it's spelled. How do you pronounce the words? Basukos, basukos, basukos. You pronounce the words as if they're plural each time. Hare kan shesh, and that's really a total of six. Dal chad kra legufei, but if you take out one of them for pasha pshat, right? So you take out one of the basukos, that means it's six minus two. So how many are you left with? Pashalu Arba. You're left with a reference to four. Asai Hilchasa, so the Halach L'Moshe Misina comes along, Garis HaLurvi is Fukmeh Tafach, and it minimizes the last wall, and it says it doesn't need to be a fourth complete wall. The fourth wall could be only a Tafach, but you need three that are complete walls, three that are full walls. Very important to point out in this context, the Rosh Masechet Baba Kama in the second parak, Simon Beis, writes that whenever you have a Halach L'Moshe Misina, it's always Legroa Asa. It always comes to be makil, it always comes to minimize something. And that's why we have a Hilchsa Gemiri, Chatzi Nezek Tsraros, that you pay Chatzi Nezek. That's the context of the Rosh and Baba Kama, that really you should have had to pay Nezek Shalem. But because it's Halach L'Moshe Misina, the Halach L'Moshe Misina was Goreya, that you only have to pay Chatzi Nezek. The Mizrahi writes, and it's also in the Sefer Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, that when the Pasuk says, Kol Chelu V'Kol Dam Lo Sochelu, or lo sochal chametz, the implication would be even a kol shehu you're not allowed to eat, right? Eating, we would think, means anything. Comes along Halach L'Moshe Misina, says, you're not going to be chayv malchus or kares or anything unless you eat a kezayis. Achil is defined by a kezayis. However, the isser still remains as the implication in the Torah is if you eat anything. That's why chatzi shir, asr min haTorah. You eat any minor amount of anything, it's still going to be the isser. Based on that, all the Achronim explain Rashi Maseches Yuma Daf Pei. Fascinating Rashi. Rashi says, Shi'uran shel onchin halacha l'moshe misinai. What does that mean? Shi'urei onchin shal yadon hu enosh halacha l'moshe misinai be'eza shir hu enosh. The shir of what you would have to eat in order to get punished, that's determined by halacha l'moshe misinai. How do I know that only if I eat a kezayis of chelev, a kezayis of dam, that I'm punished halach l'moshe misinai, that I'm punished? How do I know that if it's not if I eat a mashuhu? That's halach l'moshe misinai. Shi'urim, to be punished, are halach l'moshe misinai. Asks Rav Meir Arik in a Sefer Tel Torah, why shi'urim shal onshin? Why not shi'urim shal mitzvos? How about telling me that I know that I have to eat a kezayis of matzah, that's halach l'moshe misinai. That a shi'ur of a mitzvah, that if I eat a mashu of matzah, I'm not yotzei. I eat a mashu of marah, I'm not yotzei. Why don't you tell me that's halach l'moshe misinai? Why is Rashi so focused on the onshin? So says Rav Meir Arik, based on the yisod we just said, that every halacha l'moshe misinai has to be coming to tell me a kula. So Rashi understands that fundamentally, halacha l'moshe misinai that achil is defined as a kezayis is a kula. You know why it's a kula? Because every iser achila that you have, you're only going to be punished if you eat a full kezayis. If you eat any less than that, you're not going to be punished. It's a tremendous kula. Now, it happens to be, though, that once the Halach L'Moshe Misinai is redefining achila as a kezayis, it will be a bit of a chumra also, in terms of mitzvos, that you now need to eat a kezayis of matzah, you need to eat a kezayis of marah. So it's a bit of a chumra also. But Rashi emphasizes the onshim, because fundamentally it has to be a kula. Every halach l'moshe misinai has to be a kula. Asa, right? Asa hilchasa v'gari l'revius, garase l'revius v'kmei atafach. It tells you that the fourth wall doesn't have to be a full fourth wall, that it could be even a little bit less. Fine. Now we need the fifth shita, who holds we follow the pronunciation and not the spelling. Rabbi Akiva, Detanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Minayim, the Revi is Dam, Shiatsu Mishnei Mesum Shamitami Ba'ohel. How do I know that a Revi is Dam? That comes out from two separate dead bodies and combines to one Revius. That it's Mitami Ba'ohel, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Al Kol Nafshos Meis Lo Yavo. Shtei nefashos, right? It refers to two nefashos, v'shirechad, and yet it's one revius. So you see that a revius that comes out from two separate dead bodies is metame ba'oel, v'rabbanon, and the rabbanon would respond, no, nafshas ksiv. It says nafshas, it doesn't say, it's not spelled with a vav in the plural, it's spelled in the singular. Yes, it may be pronounced in the plural, but it's only spelled in the singular. The Stipler writes that you see the idea of Revi'ez Dam, Mishnei Mesim. Why is it that Revi'ez Dam, Mishnei Mesim can't just be learnt out from the idea of Kezayis Echad Mishnei Mesim? Kezayis Echad Mishnei Mesim is Mitzaref. Why should Revi'ez Dam, Mishnei Mesim be any different? So says the Stipler, because Kezayis is a shir in the chashivos it's a shir chashiv. Kezayis means that it's a substantial amount. Revi'ez Dam, the concept of Revi'ez Dam, one might have thought is not a din in being a substantial amount. It's not that a Revi'ez of blood is a substantial amount of blood. It's that a Revi'ez Dam is considered to be a like a representative of the mace itself. For instance, where do you have such halachos that there's a type of tumah that's substantial enough, and another type of tumah that is considered representative of the mace itself? So rov minyan of the bones in a body is metame ba'ohel. Why? Because that's substantial. That's a large amount. What about shedra v'gulgolas? Why is that metame? It's not such a substantial amount. Why is shedra v'gulgolas metame ba'ohel? It's not because it's a substantial amount, but it's because it's the rov binyan. That represents the mace himself. That represents the entire mace. And he says that's the din, that revi'ez dam. One might have thought, revi'ez dam, l'may nafkamina? What if you have the revi'ez dam yishnei mason? If it's a din that it represents the mace itself, well, if it comes from shnei mason, it doesn't represent either mace, because you only have a half of a revi'ez from each mace, so it can never represent the mace itself. But if it's a din in a shir chashuv of this is a shir chashuv of something from a mace, so then it would be metame even if it were from shnei mesim. So one might have thought you can't learn from kazayis because the din of revi'ez dam is a din in representation of the mace. So that's where Rabbi Akiva comes to tell me that no, even mishnei mesim is metame, that it's not a din in shir representation, it's a din in the chashivus of the shir. Now, based on that, Rabbi Ginak writes in his sefer on Sanhedrin that the Gemara Nazir, Daf Lamed Ches, says that there are 10 revi'ios. There are 10 shirim of revi'os. And one of them on the list, besides, you know, for all the normal revi'oses that we're used to, revi'os yayin and everything like that, for a Nazir, one of the shirim that he mentions on the list is revi'os dam yishnei mesim. Well, why would he quote revi'os dam yishnei mesim? Just quote the din revi'os dam. Why mishnei mesim? Why emphasize? Why lock yourself into one shita? There's a shita that holds revi'ez dam mishnei mesim is not metame. So why would you dafka give that on the list? Revi'ez dam mishnei mesim. It says Rabbi Ganaka works out beautifully according to this idea of the stipler. He doesn't quote the stipler. He's mechavi to it on his own. But he says it works out beautifully according to this. What's the eser revi'ez? What the Gemara is emphasizing in Nazir by the revi'ez is that a revi'ez is a shir chashuv. That revi'ez on its own is a shir chashuv. Not that it's representative of anything. That it's its own shir chashuv. How do you show that that's true by revi'ez dam in a mace? Well, if you just show me a revi'ez dam from one mace, that might not be a din in shir chashuv. That could just be because it represents the mace. The only way to really show that, to really demonstrate that, is by showing a din of revi'ez dam yishnei mesim, a very sharp point. Very good diuk in Maseches Nazir. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. So now we've shown all five tanaim that hold Yeshem Lemikra, that we focus on the way things are pronounced and not on the way things are spelled. Maskev L'Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Mi'ika Delasa Yeshem Lemikra. Does anyone disagree with that? Does anyone disagree that we focus on the way things are pronounced and not the way things are spelled? Vatanya, don't we have a braisa that says Bechalevimo Yachal Bechalev? The pasuk says Lo Savasha Gedi Bechalevimo. You don't cook a kid in its mother's milk, right? It means milk. Chalev means milk, doesn't it? I might have thought to say Lo Savasha Gedi Bechalevimo. Don't cook a gedi in its mother's fat. Amrit Yeshem Lemikra. But it must be that we don't only pay attention to the way things are spelled. And yes, Ches, Lamed, Vez may spell out Chelev, but we know that the Mikra, that our tradition to read it, the way to read it is Bechalev, and therefore it refers to Chalev, it refers to milk. So you see, everyone must hold that the way we have a tradition to read something is very meaningful. Ela dekulei alma Yeshem Lemikra. So everyone must hold Yeshem Lemikra. V'Rebbe v'Rabbanan b'Hakamith, the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. So this is what we're going to do. The whole Amud Beis is here to undo the entire Amud Aleph. The entire Amud Aleph is there to show how all five Tanaim really hold that Yeshem Lemikra, and all those who argue on those five Tanaim don't hold Yeshem Lemikra. So we're saying, good, the five Tanaim that hold Yeshem Lemikra, they're fine, because they could read those Savash Lediba Chalevimo and understand it properly. What about the people who argue on them? So we're here to undo that and say, no one's arguing on them about Yeshem Lemikra. They're arguing about different issues. Rabbi Rabban Bakamilfki, the Machlokas Rabbi and the Rabbanan over here about how many Dayanim you need on the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Savar Yarshiyun Elohim Achrini. Rabbi holds that when it says Yarshiyun Elohim, it means besides the Elohim that were mentioned previously, which were two, you need another two. Rabbanan Savri Yarshiyun Tehech V'hai. And the Rabbanan will say, no, Yarshiyun, when it says Yarshiyun Elohim, it's a reference back to the Elohim that were already mentioned. We're just referring back to the same judges. So you're right. The Rabbanan would also agree, Yarshiyun, it's pronounced Yarshiyun, and therefore Yeshem Lemikra, and it's got to be at least two Dayanim from the word Yarshiyun alone. And it says Elohim again, doesn't that therefore refer to back the